Welcome to A Toxic Talk Tuesday. On Chris Fabry Live, go through the highways and byways and beckon those who would like to live toxin-free and tell them about our get-together today, especially those of you who are hankering to know if that cell phone, that smartphone, that wireless device might be causing you harm. We know it's convenient and easy and you can get rid of the landline, but is it in some way detrimental to your well-being? Question mark. A big question mark. We'll ask that of my toxic life coach, Miss Toxin Free 2015, voted by her graduating class at the University of Virginia as most likely to make her own mothballs, Andrea Fabry, knee Andrea Kessel, if you would like to participate. Maybe you're with a cell company, maybe you've experienced some malady, and you think it's due to new technology or those towers that are so nearby. Here's the number, 1-877-548-3675. They're everywhere, they're everywhere. Call or recall 1-877-548-3675. Personnel today, Ryan McConaughey is engineering wirelessly. Nate McMillan is our producer and coordinating everything. Hannah P. will be answering your calls today. Our website, chrisfabrylive.org. I'm looking for a few good Facebook likes and Twitter followers. You can sign up at chrisfabrylive.org. Now here she is, former host of Midday Connection, announcer on Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, mother of nine, wife of one, founder of Moms Aware, voted by Convenience Magazine as most likely to make your life harder in 2015, also most likely to own her own electro-smog machine, Andrea Fabry.
It's a meter, but thank you very much. And is there Convenience Magazine?
There is now.
Because I'm honored.
Yeah, but look at what you were voted. Most likely to make your life harder.
This is not going to be a downer program. It may sound
really?
Like it. I don't think so.
Everybody you're talking to has a cell phone.
I know.
And you're coming on here to tell people to throw it away like gluten.
Of course not. No.
First of all, Andrew, before we get into this, let's start with an easier place. How have you been since we've last talked?
Last seen out pretty
since
good.
Thanks
for asking. Yes.
How's your dog food? Is it still GMO-free?
As far as I know, it is. Any more good questions?
Why are you trying to make life so hard?
Well, I'm not. But I am trying to make life smarter, which is an ironic term, isn't it? Smart
I like that.
Living in a smart world. Do you like that? I like that. Smart living in a smart world. Because we are increasingly wireless, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And many people have given up landlines altogether, and
absolutely.
We can talk about that.
Why in the world have one when you're paying so
wireless.
Much for the cell phone and you, call 911 from anywhere?
But the good news is this is all opinion, and I hope the takeaway is your own opinion on this and your own thoughts and your own gut feeling. I think the issue, though, is that we simply don't know a lot of information that could be helpful. For instance, how many of us know that our cell phone comes with a manual and in the fine print, it encourages you to hold it away from your body?
I didn't know that. I didn't even get it. Because many times the manual doesn't even come with a phone anymore. You have to go online to get it or get on your phone. And
right. It's super hard to get into.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let me back up. Let me go even further back. Andrea Fabry. I mean, making your own mothballs, making your kitchen safer, you know, not having all these toxins, getting mold
chemicals
out of your
out
life.
Chemicals out of our laundry detergent.
You know.
Yes, we've had a range of programs.
Why?
Thank you.
Thank you. Ryan McConaughey saw that.
You're on it.
And he knew, for those of you who are listening and you've just first tuned in to Toxic Talk Tuesday, you know that, or you don't know, that when Andrea interrupts me.
Which is never.
Hear the doorbell. And this, around the country, causes animals, small animals, and household pets to go crazy. But how did we get from making your own laundry detergent to cell phones?
Well, from where I come from, which, just going on my own story, personal story here, I became very interested in the field of building biology, as many of our listeners know, because I've shared that before. And the more I studied and the more I became, you know, closer to the certification for a building biology practitioner, the closer I got to the study of electromagnetic radiation. And that's about one third of the course. And as I approached that area of study, I just groaned inwardly. First of all, I don't remember physics or chemistry or biology very well. Unfortunately, I wish I could go back to school and learn those basics. And I just didn't feel qualified to understand it. The concepts were very tough, and let alone it felt just overwhelming. I mean, we live with technology in our home, and I love my technology and my computer and my phone. But because I was on this journey, I knew I needed to finish. And as I got into it, the more interested I became, the more qualified I felt, and the more I understood. And then when I launched into cell phones, particularly wireless devices generally, that is where everything came together for me. As I, it just made sense that not that we need to pitch it all, but that we have to think about it. And that's what we just don't tend to do, because we trust, as we've discussed so many times on this program, we just assume we would know it if it's unsafe. Wouldn't we know that? And there are so many studies out there, and the research at so many times as I have, and this has been about a year-long process, I have just, my breath has been taken away. Mm-hmm. Just, I did not know that. And oh, that makes so much sense. And when it comes to wireless technology, we're talking about something that is very far from the 60 hertz that we have in our homes for wiring to billions of hertz. We have the term megahertz. We're talking something so different and so foreign to our immune system, and we can't see it, we can't hear it, and if we could, it'd be extremely noisy and powerful, but we can't feel that. So there in the electromagnetic radiation spectrum, there's the ionizing spectrum, and we know that's x-rays, gamma rays, and those are harmful, but we don't know as much about non-ionizing radiation. And that, these are the lower, quote unquote, lower levels that can impact us biologically very significantly, because we are electrically wired, so to speak, our immune systems, the communication between cells, the signaling, and those words are interesting, communication signals. That's what we're talking about with cell phones. And we're very sensitive immune system-wise, but there's a lot of hope as far as living with these in a wise way.
Okay, let me see if I can wrap my head around what you just said. You're asking us to take all of our cell phones, put them in the microwave, and get them out of here. No. You're not asking us to do that, but you are, and my guess is, and I know you off air.
Do you?
My guess is the more you know, the more you don't know.
Right, exactly.
The more you learn, the more questions you have, and many times in our society, questions are bad because they lead us to a place where, boy, you know, if I act on this, then it's going to make my life harder. If you tell me that I have to keep the cell phone, for example, away from my body, then I just spent $50 on this little thing that I put on my belt to keep my cell phone right there at my hip. And you're saying, well, is that smart?
It may be better than in a pocket, however, because mm-hmm. there's some type of barrier there. It depends. But, you know, I suggest small changes. I think always the first step is to be open-minded about wireless technology in general. Anything that is a question mark is just, are you open or do you immediately dismiss this?
Yes.
No.
I think most people right there would do that. They would hear you talking about cell phones and they'll say, oh, what is she talking about today? This is crazy. We're going to have to get it. I mean, that could
sure.
be the reaction.
Yeah,
and what you
that.
Are saying is what? Don't
well,
dismiss it.
Just listen, or just not listen to me, because you know what? I'm a journalist. I'm a mom. I'm not an electrician. I'm none of those things that would make me quote unquote an expert. However, because I am a journalist, I love to ask questions, and I have done so much reading on this. That doesn't make me an expert. So the issue isn't listening to me. The issue is, in your heart, are you open to learning more about this?
In your microwavable heart. In your megahertz.
One way that I heard and read, you can test if a microwave is leaking is to put your cell phone in it. Don't put on the microwave, put your cell phone in it and call it. If you can hear it, it might be leaking. Oh. I haven't tried that myself.
Yeah, I haven't tried it. Yeah, and I tried it, but nobody answered. That was my problem.
And we know microwaves, you know, we wouldn't want to put our heads in the microwave necessarily. That's operating on those very, very high microwave frequencies. So
okay,
we know that much. These are operating at similar frequencies.
So who would you love to talk with today? Are you looking for, you're just looking for controversy. You're just trying to stir things up, aren't you, Andrea?
You know, I think there's probably someone listening who has noticed a change maybe by using it less, or notices a difference when it's right up against your head. Maybe you had, we can get into the cordless DECT phones, DECT phones that we often turn to instead of a mobile phone. And those are just, can be just as, I don't want to say dangerous, but hazardous, if you will. So someone who's had some experience, either I've noticed a difference, I haven't, someone who's skeptical, someone who just has honest questions that maybe or maybe not I can help with.
I know young parents who have a baby monitor. That's a big question. Talk about controversy. We're going to deal with it. All of that and more today on Chris Fabry Live with my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry.
Call 877-LIVE-675 to reach Chris Fabry Live. That's 877-LIVE-675.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, 10 cell phone safety tips from your toxic life coach and mine, Andrea Fabry. You can find out more. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. And before we take, you know, all of the lines are going for you, Andrea. I mean, there's just all kinds of folks here who want to talk about this. I want to make sure that you are not saying, every medical problem that you're having today is, it's either mold or a cell phone.
Absolutely. Ugh. I don't think there's too much mystery associated with the type of chronic illnesses that we're dealing with. Up to 50% of Americans have some type of chronic thing that they're dealing with. So to attribute it to one thing, I think is not wise.
All right. We start with Linda in Lakeland, Florida. Hello there, Linda. Go right ahead. Tell us your anecdotal story.
Hi, Chris. Well, I'm dealing with two health issues that are recent in my life, and I believe that they are connected to my cell phone. I started a couple of years ago in the evenings. I would put my cell phone on my left side of my chest, just below my collarbone, above my left breast. And not long after that, I developed a lump in my left breast. So I moved the cell phone to my right side, and I did that for a while, and now I have nodules in the very, very top of my right lung. So I'm very scared of this, and I'm so glad to hear you talking about this issue.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your story. What is that difference has that made for you as far as the cell phone?
Well, I don't lay it on my body anymore. I try to just lay it on the couch or somewhere nearby and use the speakerphone. But it's frustrating for me because when you present it, the question to your doctor, they just sort of brush it off, you know. But for me, it's become very serious since it happened on both sides, you know.
Well, I applaud you for making the connection, and at least because, again, you know, the precautionary principle, we operate on that quite a bit, especially in Europe when it comes to things that have technologies that have question marks, toxicities that have question marks. The precautionary principle is, unless we know more, why not err on the side of caution? And that's all you're saying is, I don't think I'm going to put it there anymore. So I really appreciate your call.
Here's Jim in Cleveland, Ohio, home of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Yes, it is, and home of the Cleveland Indians. I'm fine. Yes. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. You made a comment early in the beginning of the show concerning cell phones, and you used the term megahertz. Megahertz is millions of cycles in the radio signal. And I've been a ham operator for nearly 40 years, and even Citizens Band radios, which have never been shown to cause any harm because of their signal strength, operate in the 27 megahertz band. It's when they began to increase the frequencies, and we see gigahertz, everything is in gigahertz. We see certain installations now that are even up into the terahertz. Tremendous amount of frequency and energy being transmitted there. Now, in the gigahertz range, that's cordless home phones for landline, a lot of wireless devices, almost all of them are in the gigahertz range. What's interesting is that these devices haven't been shown clinically to cause any trouble at this time, but what alarms me is that 5 or 10 years down the road, they just might. They've talked about putting terahertz technology, very high-frequency technology, into tablets and cell phones that we currently have today. This would increase not only the range, but the power of these devices, and they could eliminate a lot of cell phone towers and save a lot of money. It all sounds great, but we're talking about a lot of power, and to illustrate how much power we're talking about, there is a government installation in Alaska. Perhaps you would ingratiate us on some details, because I don't have them all. But there is a government installation in Alaska that is radio only, and they are broadcasting radio signals into the atmosphere in an experiment to see if they can change weather conditions. Think of how powerful that is.
Listen, Jim, anybody who uses the word ingratiate on my program,
I get a
gold star.
I need to, you know, that you're a ham operator and you have concern about these levels, you know, of the incredible levels that we're talking about and radio waves to change weather patterns and even devices that we can wear on our heads to change our mood. I just, you know, I appreciate you calling, and the terminology all gets very confusing, but the bottom line is we're talking about something very foreign that we haven't seen ever, and I really appreciate that you're raising these questions.
You know, he mentioned he's a ham operator. I went through the same thing, and I got my license to be a ham and cheese operator. I'm here till Thursday. Jim, thank you. Betsy in Byron, Minnesota. Hi, Betsy. How are you today?
Hi, guys. I'm great. My husband bought this little thing a couple years ago from a bicycle shop. He wears it on his ankle, and he says it protects him from, you know, when we had the analog TV, the stuff that comes from that, and the stuff from his cell phone, and the stuff out in the atmosphere from the power lines. He says this thing protects him from all of this stuff. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, not that particular one. I'm certainly familiar with shielding devices, all sorts of ways to protect ourselves. So not the ankle one. I certainly am familiar with grounding and grounding yourself through an appropriate outlet or the ground itself with metal and a grounding sheet and all of that. I actually have a body voltage meter, so I can measure the impacts of some of these things, and I can say some of them work. I haven't tested that one, and anytime I hear someone wave it all off because they have the right device, that concerns me, because knowing what I know now, I do not hold that cell phone right up to my head. And I lament that I spent so many years talking for hours to people, my kids and family members and listeners and so forth. I've talked a lot on my phone. I wouldn't do that now. No matter what device I may have or not have.
Maybe that's why you interrupt me.
That could be
because of the past.
I just know that I am not the, when you understand how powerful that is right into the head, a quarter of the signal goes down with just 2 inches away from your head. And currently the FCC, this is very controversial in 2013. I'll come back to that, Betsy, but now treats the outside of the ear as the ankle in terms of an extremity. And so therefore, it changes the guidelines for what we allow in terms of specific absorption rate. When I think of it against my head and my ear, as opposed to my ankle, that's what made me think of this, Betsy, as I was thinking of the extremity part.
Let me ask you this. Can I get an insurance policy that will allow me to sue a phone company if I find out that their cell phone has harmed me?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't think so. I know that Lloyd's of London, which is a group of insurers, will have refused as of just February of this year, refused to cover any cell phone company for any illnesses associated with the use of their products. So if they're on that, That tells me a lot. But anyway, Betsy, I can't say because I'm not familiar with that, but I would always encourage caution. And I think that's what you heard from me.
Okay, here's what I'll come back to you with. I think it's good. There are purveyors of fear out there. And people who will say that, you know, you got to wear the tinfoil hat and you got to do this, that, and the other thing. And the cell phones cause cancer and cell phones do all of this kind of stuff. And it's proven. And I don't think you can go that far with anything and say that. But then you realize they are marketing their own special tinfoil hat that will protect you from all of that. So our fear could drive us to buy something or get something to protect us that we don't know if there should be a fear to begin with, and then to go and buy something that protects us from whatever that fear is. We're reacting on fear rather than knowledge. Does that make sense, Andrea?
Yes, it does. And that's why I was so afraid to even study this or think about it. I was so afraid of the change. I was so afraid of finding something out that I wouldn't know what to do with. And I was afraid that I would operate out of fear. That hasn't happened. I had to give it a lot of time and be careful with my actions as opposed to my reactions. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I do want to emphasize there are some very
scientific, maybe.
Well, yes, absolutely scientific products out there that can help, but nothing can help your own smartness. And the good news is, I don't wake up and go, "Oh, I'm so afraid of my cell phone." I still have a cell phone. I use it so differently now, so differently. And Chris knows we've been on this path for about 8 months to make some changes in the home. Mm-hmm. And one of those was to wire our computers instead of rely on Wi-Fi. Now, that's a whole nother story.
And that's expensive,
but
too.
For several years, we've turned off the Wi-Fi at night. And if that's one takeaway from this program, turn off the Wi-Fi at night. Nobody needs it. And it emits 24 hours a day, so you can take some burden off the immune system while you're sleeping.
Coming up, 10 cell phone safety tips. We're going to do that at the bottom of the hour with my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry. We go back to Cleveland. Debbie is on the line. Hello there, Debbie. Tell us your story.
Hey, hi. Hi, you guys. I had a question. It was kind of similar to the other young lady. She talked about holding the phone on her collarbone or whatever. Mm-hmm. My question is, like, I always put my phone in my bra. It's just easier to get to when it, you know, rings. I don't got to dip through my purse. But I'm wondering, does it make a difference whether it's on, like, if you're using it? I know several times I'll put it on speakerphone, but it'll still be on my bra. And I've had people tell me, you know, that's not good, so I take it out or whatever. But if it's not on and it's touching your skin, is that still an issue? Because I know that you had said earlier that, you know, it being on your belt buckle is better than it being, like, in your pocket because it's still touching your skin. That was my first question. My second question would be, you know, would earphones and things of that nature be the same issue, or we're just talking about straight up wireless?
Man. Debbie,
on it. I would definitely not carry my phone there. Now, if you can turn it completely off, that's a different matter, and that's how you want to carry it. I would not, because it's constantly connecting. That we're talking digital, it's pulsating, it's radiating, it's doing its thing when it's on. Even in airplane mode, I wouldn't do that. I would turn it completely off, so it's neutral, so to speak.
So let me ask you a question. If you're doing like navigation, if you're going from one place to another, and you say, "You take me to, you know, the nearest Dairy Queen or whatever," which I know you wouldn't go to.
I don't think you do, but do you?
Well, yeah, just use it as a landmark.
Well, you know where it is.
is that, you know, is the, what's the phone doing at that point then?
It's, well,
I know.
Are you in the car when you're?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
right now.
Because the car, and this is where, this has really changed for me. When you understand, as you're moving, first of all, there's metal in the car, which conducts it, makes it even harsher to our bodies, but it's constantly finding the next tower, the next signal. So it's really working hard in the car. That is the suggestion of many international experts, is do not use the phone in the car. I know that's devastating.
That's why you have a phone.
But in an emergency,
sure,
use it.
Okay.
In an emergency, absolutely. Or at the very least, I love to hear Debbie say she would use the speakerphone. Mm-hmm. And so the further away it is, speaker is very good. As far as those Bluetooth headsets, they're wireless. So you're getting, it's not the answer.
Well, wait a minute. Not every headset is wireless. Some of you just plug right in.
So those are better. For sure. And you can even get little ferret beads that are super cheap to even stop any radiation from the phone.
Get what?
A ferret bead. It's just basically something that stops the conduction there from the phone to your ear through the wire. It's, but like I said, it's better. There are air tube headsets.
Do you sell the ferret beads?
I don't, but I can tell you they're $4.99. So, you know, it's cheaper than getting a whole new headset, and it is a step above to use a headset. Absolutely. Anything that gets it right away from the head and the proximity to the brain.
I can just see Andrea walking down in the stadium. Get your ferret beads.
And your tube headsets.
Ferret tube beads headsets. Okay. All right. So we're almost there to the halfway point here now, Andrea, and we're going to give you the 10 tips for cell phone use. The 10 helpful safety tips are coming up, and more of your calls at 877-548-3675. She's also most likely to own a pair of ferret beads. Andrea Fabry is joining us on this Talk to Talk Tuesday. We're talking about cell phones, but even more than that, we're talking about wireless technology and could it possibly, be a problem to your health? All of our lines are going. People have opinions, people have questions, and we have 10 cell phone tips that we're going to give you in just a moment. We're going to do that, but first, let's go to Jordan in Nashville. Jordan, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I kind of wanted to piggyback on a previous caller. I was kind of hearing bits and pieces of your program as I was driving here. But the ham radio operator that got on earlier, and he was mentioning how and describing rightfully how you have increased power as your frequency goes up along the electromagnetic spectrum. But I want to point out that all of these different frequencies are still contained within the radio wave section of the electromagnetic spectrum, which is below that of visible light, just to give you some reference.
Right, yes.
And now as we continue above visible light, then we get into gamma rays, and if we get into high-energy gamma rays, which are known as cosmic rays, this is where all the fun happens. This is your enriched uranium, this is plutonium, this is, galactic kind of really start to mess with things on the cellular level, and that's what's called as ionizing radiation.
Correct.
And, right.
So I mean, not that you need me to say correct. I'm just following you because I am so concerned about non-ionizing radiation, and that is my concern. But go ahead.
Right. And so, you know, there's a lot of nuance here, and I want to be sure that I'm clear on my point, which, and this is to my understanding as a physics student, is that, and I've had this discussion with some of my professors, which is ionizing radiation is the type that will knock electrons loose, thereby causing damage to atoms, causing damage to cells, causing genetic mutations in DNA, and thereby causing cancer, which is a unrestrained growth and a messed up cellular process, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in that respect, what I want to say is that to our knowledge, non-ionizing radiation cannot cause cancer. So I realize there's just a dearth of online anecdotal evidence of people saying that I have growths here because my cell phone is here, or I have, you know, lesions here because my cell phone is here. But as to our understanding, only ionizing radiation is going to cause that kind of unrestrained growth, that kind of genetic mutation in cells that leads to cancer.
Okay, so, Jordan, let me ask you, have you at all, and I think you'd be very interested in this, the Bioinitiative 2012 report? I think you'd be very interested in it if you, just Google it, actually.
Sure.
And just look, there are 1,800 studies talking about non-ionizing radiation. And some of them, the studies suggest that cancer is part of this picture. But this is the common view, and I get it. And this is, we all know that ionizing radiation is very dangerous.
Right, and I guess the point I wanted to make is that I obviously can't speak to the fact that non-ionizing radiation can cause the localized heating, And localized heating for long periods of time on the side of the brain could cause damage after a while. It's just that the study hasn't gone on long enough, is to my knowledge.
So what she is saying is, why not err on the side of caution, since we don't know? I mean, the spate of cell phone usage, we can look back to late 90s and then early 2000s, and then it was like in 2005 and on, as I understand it, or just anecdotally, that's when everybody started getting cell phones, and that's when kids started. Everybody has a phone now.
It's very new. We don't know the long-term effects. We simply can't know that. And that's where the precautionary principle can come into play. Let me just tell you a story about my aunt. And I didn't realize this until recently. She was born in 1935. She was adopted, actually, from the same place that George Burns and Gracie adopted on the same day.
Yeah.
But she had a birthmark on her forehead. And at that time in the 1930s, 40s, they removed those with radiation. And
later on, they realized
that was not a good idea. She died of a brain tumor. And I asked my dad, where was the birthmark in relation to this tumor? And it was the same place. I'm not saying that that's causation. I don't know. All I know is she died at 63. This was when she was a newborn, 6 weeks old and on. In that first year of life, she received the radiation treatments. No one's going to know that. But it just tells me that something from 1996 on, we don't know 30, 40, 50, 60 years down the road what kind of impact this is going to have. And there's a project called the Baby Safe Project, which I think is just, it's got 78 experts from around the world, scientists, Harvard, Yale, and so forth. And one of the scientists has a major study done. He's from Harvard, and he talks about this on the Baby Safe Project website. Exposing mice to non-ionizing radiation at a distance and noting behavioral issues in their offspring, pregnant mice. That, you know, do we dismiss that or do we take that seriously? This group of experts is saying this is enough to say with something so new that, yes, we are deciding safety on the thermal effects. That's how it's been decided, is the thermal. What the studies are showing, there may be non-thermal effects that we don't know yet.
You know, it's interesting how small those cell phones have gotten that mice are now using them. It's just amazing. All right, coming up, the 10 cell phone tips. But before we get to that, Jordan, thank you. Jane is in Whitehall, Michigan. Jane, your question or comment.
Hi, Chris and Andrea. It's Jean, not Jane.
Jean!
That's, you know, I should say, I think it's ferrite bead, not ferret bead. So, Jean, Jane, I'm glad we've clarified. Yes, okay. Jean.
Yes.
Hey, and I'm pulling a no-no. I'm sitting in my car. I was on my way home listening to your
Uh-oh.
Program.
Oh, we'll have to drop you like a hot rock.
I do have it on speakerphone.
Good.
My question is not about cell phones, but I sit with my laptop computer in my lap often, and it's a wireless one. And my daughter is telling me that's not a good idea. Do you feel the same way? Is that bad?
Well, I can give you my opinion. I would agree with your daughter. I know for my kids, we have lap shielding that I have for their laptop, but we also have them wired. You know, we only have the Wi-Fi on now a couple of hours a day at most. But, and I would encourage you, before you even change that, I would try and get connected to the Ethernet and not rely heavily on the wireless component. As far as the lap, it is very similar to the cell phones. And I think since this is all so new, who really knows for sure? I mean, I believe the 1800 studies that I see in the Bioinitiative report, but I see them. But there are other studies that show, well, maybe not so. So again, this is what makes you a cool mom, is that you listen to your daughter and you're like, asking the question. So I would keep asking, and it wouldn't hurt to try and use a desk just to get that strong sense away from the body. The further away, the better. And then consider, if possible, going backward in technology and using the Ethernet.
I have to tell you, this is Gene Warren. Jim Ward.
I thought
Ward,
so. Hey, Gene.
Wife. Yes. And I think Jim, who did Primetime America a long time ago, I think Jim would be all over this kind of question. I mean, he and Steve Hewitt, I mean, he was talking about computers in the early 1980s, but he'd be all over this subject like this, wouldn't he?
He would. And I appreciate what you do, Chris. You remind me of him. You have a heart for God and for people as well as for learning things. So that's great.
You've given me a great compliment, Gene. God bless you.
Yeah,
thanks for calling
today.
Yeah,
so good to hear from you.
Okay, so we told them that we were going to give them these 10 tips. So shall we do that,
please.
Andrea? Can
yes,
we
please.
Quickly do the 10 tips? 10 cell phone safety tips. Number one.
Choose low SAR. I alluded to that earlier. That's specific absorption rate. It's a measure of the amount of radio frequency energy absorbed by the body when using a cell phone. This is probably, I mean, and your instruction manual should say what it is. According to the government, it can't be more than 1.6.
Whatever that is.
What is the?
But what are we looking for? What is the SAR rate that we want?
Less than 1.6 will be, but the lower the better. Now, honestly, I put that first because the other nine are going to impact more than choosing a low SAR, because there are so many question marks around that the rating as it is, because they use a mannequin in order to determine that, the specific absorption rate, and they use a mannequin, fill it with fluid, and the mannequin is a military, it's based on the head size of a military recruit from 1989. It's very interesting, and 220 pounds. So it's not really, the absorption rate would be different for a child.
Yes.
And we can get to that as far as children using these cell phones. But that's something to look at. It's good to know that there is, it's 1.6 watts per kilogram. That's what it is. Thank you. And so it's good to know that the FCC has a limit, and that's what it is currently. And so you can look to find out what that is.
Low SAR rate, number one. Number two, text instead of talk. Why?
Well, again, we talked about that. It's further away from the body.
Well, don't shame me.
I'm sorry.
Don't shame me.
We already mentioned this, but okay, I'll mention it again. Okay. Texting is like using speakerphone. So actually, we really didn't talk about it.
You're right.
I apologize. Yeah. You can do the doorbell on that because I was really off base. I really was.
What you're saying is texting uses less energy.
Yes. So it's better. It's better, just not in your lap. Again, away from the body. So that's just when possible. And I was not a texter, and now I'm becoming more of a texter.
But don't text and drive. We know that.
I don't have that on there, but, you know.
You should have it off anyway. Don't have your cell phone on in the car.
No.
Use speaker or safe headset. Is this
we
where
we talked about the air tube.
Yes, we
headset,
did.
Headset, the ferrite bead.
Not a ferret bead? Ferrite bead.
I don't know. I'm trusting our experts. I do too. But just keeping it away from the body, and an air tube stops that radiation right there in the plastic tube. So
an air tube is like what you have at some of the airlines. You plug in and it's two prongs, and it comes through the audio comes through a tube, just like two little tin cans when we were a kid. You put a string between two tin cans and talk. This is fascinating, isn't it, Andrew? Okay, so use a speaker or a safe headset. You should see her face.
Well, I'm looking at my list. All I'm thinking is, how are you going to fit all this in?
That's three.
What's
number four? Tell me number four.
Just a second. Oh, consider your cell phone case. Now, the SAR testing is done without a case. So if the case covers up the antenna, remember the signal is going to be working even harder and can emit more radiation. So I don't know what to say about that. I have tested, because I have my meter, I've tested three different cases, and I can tell you that deep breath here, the OtterBox case, which is the one that covers just everything about it, mm-hmm. is really testing out higher than some of these other cases. So it's just something to think about.
That or not.
And I don't know about the marketing of the different cases and what you can believe or not believe, except that it is an issue.
So you're saying, again, and I think this is important, if you cover up the transmitter receiver part of the phone, it's going to work harder, emit more in order to connect.
Yes. So, and which leads us to another one, is to watch the bars, because when you have a lot of bars, it's not working as hard. When it's really having to work hard to find a signal, it's emitting more. So you want to hold that away from your body as much as possible.
This is booty radio. You don't have to watch. You don't have to have people watch bars. Okay. So
I was
That's what? Five of them. And what about flight mode? Fight or flight? Is that what
it's
you're talking
good
about?
To have it in flight mode. It's better. Offline is better. Turning it off is even better. But certainly keeping it in flight mode is optimal. That's how you want to think about your phone is I'm only going to keep it on and use it when I actually need it. And that's what is a different way of seeing the whole thing.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear the rest of the 10 tips. We'll talk about children and cell phones and more straight ahead on Moody Radio.
Call Chris Fabry live now at 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675.
Do you know what Christianophobia is? We're going to talk about it tomorrow with professor and author George Yancey. So you won't be able to say, if you said no, you won't be able to say that tomorrow. Do you know what the 10 cell phone safety tips from Andrea Fabry? Well, you can find out at chrisfabrylive.org, and under the information from her, you can link to her blog on the 10 cell phone safety tips. Let me just, a low SAR, text instead of talk, use the speaker or a safe headset. Bluetooth
is wireless, so right, it's, and it's right there against the head. Everything I've read would be advising against the Bluetooth. Choose at least a wired headset with that bead. Let's just say the bead. Or an air tube headset.
Use a safe case or no case. Keep in flight mode. Avoid weak signals. Then avoid use in moving vehicles. We have talked about store away from the body. What do you mean by that? Store away from the body.
Well, as our caller, I think it was Debbie, talked about keeping it right there.
Against the skin.
Yeah, you don't need it there.
Dial then stretch. What do you mean by
again,
that?
Again, the more radiation is emitted, and there are arguments that say, well, none of this is a large amount anyway. Why worry about it? So you almost have to, if you have a concern about this and suspect that maybe less radiation is better, then you want to dial it. And then as it gets the signal and connects, it's using more radiation. So just move it away as you watch it connect.
Can you just real quickly, let's go to line five. I want to talk with Dan in Chicago. Hey, Dan, go right ahead. Dan, can you hear me? Nope, Dan can't hear me. All right. Talk about the children then. Talk about children and cell phones. Because a lot of kids, teenagers and below, right?
This is hard. It's hard to be a parent today. Can I just say I would do so much over and I don't know. I just get this big sigh of maternal burden for all the moms and dads who are listening because you feel like you're fighting this battle. And to tell a teen to watch out with their cell phone is asking a lot. But fortunately, I will say a lot of them do text more than they talk on the phone. But I would encourage teens to use them sparingly and parents to have some certain boundaries and not to have them sleep near it and to have limits on wireless and so forth. But children don't need cell phones. They don't need to be playing with it. They don't need them in their life. They've survived for many hundreds. And that may sound harsh, but don't take a chance. Their brains don't fully develop until their early 20s.
Your kids have cell phones, Andrea?
They do, but it's so interesting to me that the two, our 21-year-old and 19-year-old, don't hardly use a cell phone. And I would expect, because of what their health issues have been, they're very affected by that. And I think intuitively, they have stayed away.
And the younger ones now, you're helping them stay away.
Well,
you have
we
to.
Know more, and then our older ones, you know, it just happened all so fast, didn't it? As parents, what you blinked, and then they're there. And I was so grateful. I remember when Aaron, our oldest, was driving. I was so grateful. It was just I think it was the Virgin Mobile at the time,
right.
How grateful I was that she had it in the car. So that's peace of mind. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a really good thing to have.
Here's Angela who said she read an article about light bulbs and how there are some who emit bad electricity. Now, does that go along with the subject today?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's disruptive to the immune system and the types of pulsating frequencies that we can experience from particularly the compact fluorescent light bulbs that are so popular. People can be very sensitive to those. I know I am. I feel much better with incandescent bulbs. And honestly, ideally, naturally, we go to bed when it gets dark and we rise up when it's early. I know that we've talked about this before with shift work and so forth. If you're in a workplace environment that uses fluorescent, if you have any opportunity to suggest switching even to the LED bulb, because there are these very disturbing, they can be very disturbing flickering pulsations.
So what would you say to the person who is just saying, this is a bunch of...
That's totally fine. You know, I get it. I do. I respect you. I think we probably respect each other and could talk about a lot of things that we'd have in common. So I understand and would never, ever create the type of fear or try and push any type of information like this on anybody. You just be where you are. And if you've listened to the whole program, I admire you and applaud you.
Yes. And ferrite beads is what you're talking about. Sales are going to go way up.
Of ferrite beads. They probably will.
Yeah. So...
sleeping away from the phone. Do we have time for that last one?
Yes, tell me.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hear the music. Yeah. It's not a good alarm clock. I would go back to the battery operated, and people are going, what? I'm a parent. I need to have the cell phone next to me.
What about the MP3 player that, the son listens to in order to go to sleep?
If it's not wireless, connected to a wireless network, it's certainly better. Yeah. And, those types of radio frequencies are tough at night. You really, really want to give your body a full rest. So a corded phone next to you is better. We can talk about cordless decked phones
another time. You think turning off the Wi-Fi
at
when
night.
You go to bed
yes.
is a good
you
idea.
You can't lose.
Yeah.
Can't lose.
Unless you want to look something up when you just awakened and say, oh, I got to go turn the wireless.
Right.
Okay. Andrea, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
The fallout from this, the nuclear fallout.
You can take all those emails.
I'll do it, and I'm sure I'll get some, but that's okay. I agree with you. I think it's good to ask questions. And let's say 50 years from now, it comes out that this stuff was not only not bad for us, it was great. It helped us lose weight. Well, then, we haven't done that bad of a thing. If it turns out that it, was doing some harmful stuff, then we've at least asked the good question. So thank you for being here.
Excellent wrap up, may I say.
And join us tomorrow. We'll talk about Christianophobia on Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio in Chicago. Thanks for listening.